A new book out today takes a look at the transformation of Sarah Palin last year from governor of an isolated state to the national spotlight as John McCain's running mate. It also speculates on her political future and predicts she will run for presidency in 2012. The book is called Sarah from Alaska, The Sudden Rise and Brutal Education of a New Conservative Superstar. It is written by two reporters who followed Palin on the campaign trail. Co-author Shoshana Walsh is a former reporter for Fox News. She says at the beginning of the campaign, Palin was willing to go along with McCain's strategy, but she quickly started challenging his plan for winning the election.
When it came to the issue of Michigan, she wanted to keep fighting there. Even when the data said, no, it's not going to work, when the emails we got said, that it's a cheap drive, I'll pay for the gas. And obviously this is well below her pay grade as the number two on the ticket. But even during the beginning, when she was first picked, she really wanted to come back and talk to the press. She thought she could woo the press, as she really did at the beginning of her governorship up in Alaska. So she felt that she was mishandled and wanted to act out more on her own. Another big issue that you saw that with is that Jeremiah Wright. She desperately wanted to bring that up. She thought it was more relevant than Ayers. And that one night when they were toasting her debate performance, she said an offhand joking comment, but it was quite prescient, saying, I just don't want to go back to Alaska. And that why she wanted to take the gloves off and go after Wright. But John McCain had said that that is not an issue that he wanted to be associated with, and that the campaign was not going to bring it up. And you know, McCain staffers started to think of her, and she has now grabbed that phrase for her own, but going rogue.
You begin the book with a look at election night and the concession speech that Palin wanted to make but famously did not give. Explain what happened and why you think it was such an important moment for Sarah Palin.
Well, she really did desperately want to speak. She wanted to grab that spotlight one last time, but also the speech was quite deferential to John McCain, somebody that she did work hard to try to elect. And at the end, after John McCain leaves the hotel, she wants to go up on the stage to take pictures with her family. And the McCain staffers were so scared that she was going to go up there and give her speech and undermine what they saw as undermining John McCain one more time, that they actually turned the lights off, cut the sound on her. And, you know, it was already dark out. She didn't notice, really, but just that act. I mean, this is their candidate that they chose.
What were the most striking things that you discovered as you were researching the book?
Well, one of the revelations that I thought was particularly interesting is it was such a media firestorm when it came out how much money was spent on the clothes. And we spoke with her stylist exclusively. And in this one instance, it really wasn't her fault. And she, you know, was looking at price tags and saying, hey, this is too expensive. The stylist, Lisa Klein, and one of Palin's assistants were actually taking off the price tags because so that she wouldn't be so upset about it and just put it on and go out there and speak. And so that was, I think, one revelation was really interesting.
The book also describes a lot of ruthless moves that Palin has made during her political career, often quickly disposing of people who had helped her greatly in the past. But as you write, she can also be very warm and generous. Did you manage to untangle or shed light on this contradiction in her style?
She really expects loyalty from everyone around her, but she doesn't always give that back. You saw with different instances in Alaska. I think one of the most interesting stories in the book is the John Bitney story. And this is somebody that really can credit making Sarah Palin who she is and being such an integral part of winning the governorship. And he gets involved in a personal issue and is really just tossed aside.
You write that despite her resignation, it seems clear to you that Palin still wants to be president of the United States. What gives you this impression?
I don't think that she's done anything to say otherwise. I mean, right when she came home from the campaign, she was interviewed, and most national politicians will, if somebody says, are you going to run again, they'll be quite coy about it. And she did not. She said that if any doors are open in 2012, I'm going to crash right through them. And the opposite of coy. And whether it's interjecting in the New York 23 congressional race or getting involved in the healthcare debate. She also has a massive base with conservatives, and wherever she goes, she's mobbed by thousands of screaming fans, unlike really any politician in America, I guess, besides Barack Obama.
In your conversations with her, did you tell her ever that a book was maybe a possibility? And if so, how did she react to that?
I did. When we decided to put the book together, I was here in New York City, and I called Chris Perry, her closest aide and friend, and they happened to be together. They were about to board a plane, and they were very excited about the book, and Governor Palin got on the phone, was joking around, and Chris Perry said, you know, come to Alaska, and offer an open invitation for Scott and I to come. Days before we were to leave, her political spokesperson, Meg Stapleton, said that that wasn't going to happen.
And why did that change, do you think? Why was she not allowed then to meet with you?
It could have been that she had signed a book deal, or it could be that she realized that it wasn't just going to be a one-sided story, that we were really there to find both sides, to speak to friends, family, but also enemies, foes, and both sides.
Shoshana Walsh is co-author of the new book, Sarah from Alaska.